Welcome to Good Hope Through Grace. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. Thank you for tuning in tonight. I'd like to ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 15, and we will continue our study through the book of Romans. And if you've missed any of these broadcasts and you would like to get them, you can go on to our website at www.ghtg.org. That's the initials for Good Hope Through Grace, www.ghtg.org, and that'll bring you to our website, and you can get all the sermons off the website, all these radio broadcasts plus sermons from our regular church services. So if you want any information about our church, you can also find that on the website. So I encourage you to go on there if you need any of that information. Now, we're going to be focusing in Romans 15, we're going to be focusing on verses 1 through verse 7. And let's go ahead and read those verses, and then we'll have a word of prayer and ask the Master's blessing upon our study this evening. "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let everyone please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ received us to the glory of God." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful we have this honor and this privilege of being on the radio. And Lord, we realize we can't do anything without you. And Lord, we pray your blessings upon this teaching. We pray that you'd use it as you would see fit. If anyone doesn't know Christ as their Savior that is listening, and right now they trust Him, maybe something can be even said tonight that would move them to trust Christ. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, we'll give this a title, and we'll entitle it after verse 1 statement, "Not to please ourselves." Not to please ourselves. Now, that's mentioned in verse 1, and then in verse 3, it's mentioned again with regard to Jesus. It says, "For even Christ pleased not himself." So there you have it used, and Jesus, isn't he, is the ultimate example of someone that never pleased himself, but he put himself out for others, and he esteemed others better than himself. Now, we'll talk more about that here in just a little bit, but this is the exhortation that we need to see right off the bat in this text. Is he's encouraging the Roman Christians that were part of the Church of Rome, okay, he's encouraging them to be the type of people that it wasn't about themselves, that it was more about others as opposed to themselves. That's the reason why we use this title, "Not Pleasing Ourselves." One of the main problems in churches today, I believe, is selfishness. People get so self-centered, and then it gets to be all about them. And they have binders on with regard to other people. All they care about is their own self and pleasing their own self. And in many things, it's either their way or the highway. Most church fights, most church trouble is over selfishness and self-centeredness. Luke Proverbs chapter 13, I believe it is, says, only by pride comes contention. And you'll see contention in churches because someone didn't get their way. And that's nothing but pride. So the exhortation in this text is very applicable today. Not pleasing ourselves. Now, of course, the main person we need to seek to please is our God. Is that not true? We're to seek to please Him with our lives. And that should be our number one goal as we seek to please the Lord. And then we are also to seek to please others. Now, the idea of that is we seek others' well-being over ourselves. If you have your Bible, you can turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter 2. It's the same idea, just in a little different way in Philippians chapter 2. He's talking to the Philippian church. When you read these epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Galatians, Romans, these were churches. These were local assemblies. They had pastors or one pastor or several. They had deacons, and they carried on the commission. That's what we're talking about. And he tells here in Philippians chapter 2, it says, "Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like mine." And we'll talk about that in the broadcast tonight with regard to the Roman church. "Having the same love, being of one accord, of one man." Now, listen to this. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Now, that's what it means not to please yourself. We're not to be concerned with our way or the highway, and we're not to be concerned that we have to always be the one that's pleased, so to speak. We're to be more concerned about others, and here's what it says. We are to esteem others better than ourselves. Now, that's a tremendous... Now, if everybody did that in a church, you'd have harmony, and you'd have working together, and you'd have peace, and you'd have very little, if any, discord when you esteem others better than themselves. Verse 4 of Philippians 2 says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others." So there you have the idea. And I think that's the idea of not to please ourselves means that we esteem others better than ourselves. We're to be more concerned about others than ourselves. We don't always have to have our way. We don't become selfish. And when that happens, then church will have trouble. And then there'll be disharmony and discord. One of the most blessed things in the world is when you see brethren dwell together in unity. Now, there must be agreement on the main things. For instance, salvation by grace through faith, salvation through the means of faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. There can be no compromise when it comes to the true gospel and the true way of salvation. But in some of these secondary issues, and I'm going to give you an example of that here in this text in just a little bit. There's room for disagreement. I mean, sometimes in a church, you have business that gets done in a church, and it's business. But churches fight over business many times. There's room for disagreement. There's room for various opinions on certain things. But with regard to salvation, the salvation of the soul, forgiveness of sins and justification and the true gospel, there can be no room for compromise on that. There's only one true gospel. There's only one way. And Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." But these are talking in Romans 15 and Romans 14 about secondary issues. And it says in verse 1, "We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of those that are weak, and not to please ourselves." So that ties chapter 15 in with chapter 14, which is what we looked at last week. And if you'll remember what the problem was, and let me go ahead and go back to chapter 14. If you missed last week's broadcast, here it defines who the weak were. It says, "One believes that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eateth herbs," or vegetables. Okay? Verse 5. "One man esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind." So it's talking about eating of vegetables. And what it's referring to is back under the Old Covenant, there were certain dietary laws that God gave the Jews. And there were certain feast days and religious days that he gave them to observe. Well, what was happening is these Jewish brethren were getting saved. They were trusting in Jesus as their Savior. They were recognizing that Jesus was the Messiah, and they trusting him. Well, they were, these saved Jews, were also being part of churches. that were also Gentile churches. And where they had, by that I mean they had Gentiles in it. So you'd have Jewish brethren and Gentile brethren, both of them. That was their upbringing. That was their background. And what they were doing is the Lord was saving them. And then they would be part of a local church. And then they would bring all of these different laws with them. And the Jewish brethren felt that they should continue to observe these dietary laws and observe these certain religious days. Whereas the Gentiles who never observed those dietary laws, you see the difference? So he's saying receive them in chapter 14. They were to receive these Jewish brethren into their church, not so they can dispute with them. Accept them just the way they are with regard to their laws, because they weren't trusting these things in order to save their soul. They just felt like they needed to continue to keep these things in order to please the Lord. So he was told them to receive these, and this was he referred to them as they were weak. They were weak. And the strong ought to bear the infirmities. That's what we have here in chapter 15, verse 1. Ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. It means to put up with it, to bear with them, to recognize that's the way they were. That's not a test of fellowship, that the gospel message wasn't at stake. Salvation by grace wasn't at stake. This is just something they thought they should do to please the Lord. Let them do it, he's basically saying, and not please yourself. In other words, they weren't to get them in there and fight with them. They were to bear with them. And that's true. There's a lot of secondary issues today, and I'm going to go back and revisit those. That was on last week's broadcast, that people fight over in churches. And we need to bear with one another. There are certain differences on secondary issues that are not major issues. Not a test of salvation or anything of that nature, not matters of the soul. Just some minor differences. And there's room for, of course, disagreement. Now, back in this then time, that was the dietary laws. That was the dietary laws that they observed in the Old Testament and the observance of certain days. That was their issues. Those issues have changed today. There's many of these secondary issues today that people fight over that are not major things. So, he says we're not to please ourselves. We're to be concerned with helping and esteeming our brothers and sisters better than ourselves. And everybody did that, we'd get along in the main things. We'd be more unified. We've got to be united with regard to the gospel. What's the job of the church anyhow? Church isn't supposed to be an entertainment center. The church has a duty and a job. And what is that job? We are to spread, that we are to make disciples. And how you make disciples? By spreading the gospel. The gospel message is defined in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, as Christ dying for our sins, rising again. When someone receives that message, that's what saves your soul. Romans 1 says the power of God into salvation is the gospel. So we have to be in agreement on what's contained in the gospel, and our duty as a church is to spread it. If you want to see people saved, you spread the gospel. And that's the idea of go ye therefore and teach all nations. That means to spread the gospel. It means make disciples of all nations. And you do that by spreading the gospel. After they are made, after someone trusts the gospel, then we are to baptize them. That's another main job of the church, is to not only spread the gospel, but after people trust it, they are to be baptized, and then they are to be taught. Church is a teaching center. And we are to teach people the Scriptures, train them, verse by verse, chapter by chapter of God's Word, and that's how God's people grow. The Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. These are the main jobs of the church. The people get in churches and they fight over these minor things, over TVs, over movies, over clothes, over all these different things. And they spend their all their time fighting over music. They spend all their, I could go on and on, but all their time fighting over these things and are not focused on the main things. All right, let me move off that. So we're to seek to please others. There's issues that we can just accept our brothers accept our brothers regardless of our disagreements on some issues. So we're to seek to please them. We're to seek their edification. We're to seek their well-being. Now, let's go ahead and read on. Now, the example of someone that esteemed others better than themselves is Jesus, and he uses Jesus as an example in verse 3. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that were reproached fell on me. He quotes Psalm 69. And he goes to the Old Testament scriptures. Paul did that several times in the book of Romans to prove his point. You go to the Old Testament scriptures to prove great spiritual truths. We've seen him do it in Romans 4. Seen him do it in other texts in the book of Romans. And here he does it again. Quote Psalm 69, verse 9. The reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Now, what's our title tonight? Not to please herself. We're to esteem others better than herself. And if everyone adopted that attitude in a church, people would get along. Now, there's times we have to make a stand on major issues, but these secondary issues like what to eat, dietary laws, what to drink, all these different things, there's room for disagreement, and we can esteem others better than ourselves and accept them with whatever view they hold on some of these things. They're just not worth fighting over. And it goes on to say that's what Jesus did. He esteemed others better than himself. He didn't please himself. He did. What did he do? Well, he esteemed us. He put us before. Did Jesus put us before himself? He certainly did. And he wants his people to be the same way. We're to esteem others better. We're to be more concerned about our brothers and sisters than we are ourselves. Too much self-seeking, self-pleasing in churches. They really are. That's why nothing gets done. That's why nothing gets accomplished. All the time fighting over secondary things, over buildings, over money, over all of these, over songs, or all these different things. And there's some things ain't worth fighting over when you consider the big picture. Jesus esteemed us better. He sought to, it says Christ pleased not himself. What did Jesus do for us? I listed some things for you. I want you to listen to this. Jesus took flesh for us, didn't he? He left the portals of glory and took a body of flesh for us. I mean, you just imagine, he was at the right hand of the Father. He was God. He was outside the realm of time, and he stepped in time so that he could die for us. He took on a body of flesh and so that he could live for us. Can you imagine? The Creator became a babe and was lying in a manger. Imagine that. The Creator, the one that spoke the world into existence, pleased not himself so that he could save us. And took flesh for us. He lived for us. Now, we talk about Jesus dying. He couldn't have died for us had he not lived for us. He had to not only be born, become flesh, be born under the law, see. To redeem them that were under the law, he had to be born a man under the law. That's why he was born of woman, so that he would be born under the law, so that he could keep the law for us. You see, we were under a sin curse. We were transgressors of God's law. So Jesus came to keep that law for us, and he kept it. How much did Jesus keep the law? He kept it 100%. You look at the Ten Commandments, he kept them 100%. He never broke them in thought or in act. So he took flesh for us. So he didn't please himself. That's what our message is entitled. We're not to please ourselves. Our concern should be others. Others' well-being. We're to esteem them better than ourselves. It's the idea of it. Not to be selfish and self-centered and self-seeking, as so often you see in people. Well, Jesus is the ultimate example of that. He pleased himself. He didn't seek to please himself. What he did for others. He took flesh for us. He lived for us. He died for us, didn't he? For me to be saved, he had to pay my sin debt. I had a debt that I could not pay, and Jesus paid it. Aren't you so glad? He put himself in our place. He was our sin substitute. He was our scapegoat. He was our Passover lamb. He was all of this for us. So He died for us. He resurrected for us. Now, if He didn't resurrect, then His death would have meant nothing. He resurrected for us. And by resurrecting, He conquered sin, death, and hell all at one time. The Bible says He was raised in Romans 4. He was raised for our justification. In order for us to be justified, He had to rise again. He resurrected for us. And you know what else? One day He's coming for us. You see, every bit of this is He didn't please Himself. This is what He done for us. His main concern was us, not Himself. And what He's telling us here in Romans 15 is we are not to please ourselves. Our main concern should be others. Our life should be about pleasing Christ, number one. And then we are to seek to esteem others and seek that others be pleased rather than ourselves. Okay? That should be the way that we live. Others' well-being above ourselves. So not only did Jesus, let me get all this together. He took flesh for us. He lived for us. He died for us. He resurrected for us. He's coming for us. That could be before this broadcast is done. I pray that you're ready for it. He's coming for us. He intercedes for us today. He's at the right hand of the Father, and He intercedes for us. Well, He's the ultimate example of what this text is calling for. We're not to please ourselves. We're to seek to please others rather than ourselves. We're not to be self-seeking. So you get the idea when you use Jesus as an example. Verse 4 now. Whatsoever things was written aforetime was written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now, verse 4 is a great text to have marked in your Bible. It's referring to the Old Testament Scriptures. Whatsoever was written aforetime is the Old Testament Scriptures. I want you to hear me. The Old Testament Scriptures is just as much God's Word as the New Testament. When 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16 says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, that at that time the only book that was written was the Old Testament. Now the New Testament was being written. When it says from a child Timothy knowed the Holy Scriptures, that was the Old Testament Scriptures. And the Old Testament Scriptures are able to make thee wise to salvation. I hear people say all the time they don't read the Old Testament. Well, folks, that's the Scripture too. That's God's Word too. The Old New Testament is the completed book. So don't leave out the Old. You can learn how to be saved by the Old Testament Scriptures. They'll teach you God's Word. You can learn God's way of living from the Old Testament Scriptures. And I pray that you read them. And it was written for our learning. Let's hear what it says. Whatsoever was written aforetime was written for our learning. He just quoted Psalm 69, which said, the reproaches of them that reproach fell on me. When Jesus died, our sins was laid upon Him. We reproached God. We reproached His law. But Jesus bore the brunt of it. And He was substituted for our sins. Isaiah says, the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us. Oh, it says. Well, these are Old Testament Scriptures. It was written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of Scriptures might have hope. Oh, my friend, you need to love the Old Testament Scriptures. They contain the text that Paul quoted in verse 3 of Romans 15. The reproaches of them that reproach fell on me. This was written for our learning. In other words, what he's telling us here is we need to be like Jesus. Jesus pleased not Himself. Back to verse 1. Now He's telling the church at Rome, now, don't you please yourself. You do for others. You be more concerned about others. Don't you be self-centered and self-seeking. You see what the text is doing? He gives the command in verse 1. Then He uses Jesus as example in verse 4. And He mentions Him again in verse 5. It says, now the God of all patience. Aren't you glad God is patient? And consolation grant to you to be like-minded. You hear the word like-minded? We're to mind the same things. In the main things, we have to be like-minded. We have to be like-minded on the things I've already mentioned. We have to be like-minded on salvation by grace through faith. We have to be like-minded on salvation only through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have to be like-minded on these major issues with regard to the salvation of men's souls. There's no room for compromise there. But, as we've already said, these are the areas we need to be like-minded on. There's other areas that there is plenty of room for disagreement on. Business issues, whether the paint of church red or blue or gray or pink, we don't fight over such things. If someone wants to paint a different color than we, and that's what the church wants to do, that's fine. Too many people major on manners. And churches fight over things because they're so self-seeking and they're not like-minded on the main things. Oh, and the main things I've already mentioned is carrying the churches to carry forth the commission. Focused on the main things, not the secondary things. Don't major, in other words, on the manners. All right, let's go to verse 6 and 7. We'll wind this up. That ye with one mind and one mouth will glorify God. I mean, that's the way a church should be. That's why a church is likened to a body. It's to work as a unit. So that we as one mind and one mouth glorify God. God don't get glorified by a bunch of division and fighting and quarreling. So he said in this chapter 14 and now again in chapter 15, they were to receive one another. And they were not to seek to please themselves. Their concern should be one another over themselves. See? Verse 7, and here's the conclusion. Wherefore, receive ye one another. See, it's the same teaching as last week, except in this text, it uses Christ as the ultimate example. So, wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Well, folks, this has been Good Hope Through Grace, this message. Tonight has been titled, Not to Please Ourselves. We are to esteem our brothers and sisters. We are to esteem them higher than ourselves. We're to seek to please them, and our concern should be about others, and we're not to be selfish or self-seeking. We're to be like-minded on the main things. And on the secondary things, we're not to quarrel and miss the main things. May God add His blessings to His Word. Thank you so much for listening.